The 53rd gene key. The transformational path of the 53rd gene key moves from immaturity to superabundance, and it's the path of expansion. The 53rd shadow of immaturity points us in a single direction, that immaturity is that stage in human evolution in which we've not yet learned to look inwards for the resolution of our own problems. And this whole gene key spans the spectrum from externally fixated to internally grounded. It's actually quite a controversial viewpoint, this, so I'd like to explore it in some more depth. The thing is that we live in this maya, in this illusion where things are not what they seem. And if you've been studying the gene keys, you'll have come across this idea over and over again. It's like in that film, The Matrix, if you've seen that. It's a seminal film in which the protagonist gradually comes to realize that the world he's living in is a construct, is a mental projection. And we also live in that world, that construct, in which we believe what is before us. And we become a victim then of what life brings us. And we become lost in the drama of our lives and the lives of the people around us. And of course, you have to be very careful in saying these kinds of things because people can get angry when they hear this. What about my friend dying of cancer or those children starving in that terrible place? There's nothing illusory about that. You know, you might say those things. And I'm not trying to be glib about such things. The world is filled with intense suffering. That is an obvious truth. But how do we deal with that suffering? How do we meet it? This seems to be the question that dictates maturity. The 53rd gene key is a wonderful gene key. It's all about the new. It's about beginnings. It's the energy to start again. And at a deep esoteric level, it governs the cycles of our lives, what we call our incarnations sometimes. And I always think twice when I speak about this subject of incarnation or reincarnation, because I also know that it has a relative truth to it. And I know it will also meet with opinion. So if you can suspend your opinion until I've reached the end, that may be helpful. I'm just using this opinion to express a truth. And the paradox is that when our incarnations are over, when we're finally free, then we come to realize that there actually were no separate incarnations. It was all a game. It was a film. It was a divine play. And once our awareness is released from that drama, then we no longer need to participate because there's no longer a sense of separateness to incarnate. So in the meantime, it's helpful to talk about these things in the context of this gene key and its shadow. And it keeps coming back over and over again. You see, there is immaturity on many levels. There is immaturity within a single lifetime as we grow up, as we learn from our mistakes, and hopefully we become wiser and maturer. And then there's this kind of incarnative maturity as our consciousness increases its light over many, many cycles and lifetimes. Think about flowers, you know, how different flowers come out at different phases of the season. You know, some like the lovely snowdrops here in the UK, they come out in the very early spring, sometimes when there's still snow on the ground. And at the other end of the spectrum, there are flowers that don't bloom until the autumn or the winter, and they're just as beautiful. So I'd like us to get away from morality here. So flowers are perhaps a good example. Because there are humans who are immature at the incarnation level, and then there are those who are more mature. But there's no judgment in this. The earth, it's just a school. And once you've taken the classes and you've passed your exam, you're free. And new pupils are arriving all the time. You know, and these new pupils are not really individuals. It's tempting to see them as separate souls, but really they're just consciousness, the same stuff as those who've graduated. It's as though all the background radiation from the Big Bang has to evolve over time, and that one aspect flowers early and one flowers late in the game doesn't make the underlying consciousness any different at all. And the dilemma of this shadow is restlessness. You know, when the new consciousness arrives at school, it has so much to learn. The greatest thing to learn is that the outer life can never offer genuine fulfillment. So we have many, many incarnations where we seek pleasure or we run from pain until we begin one day to question the whole game of life. Perhaps you remember when you first questioned a game, and I wonder what it was that you responded to. Perhaps you were drawn to a book or a teacher or a bright human example carrying a deeper maturity than usual. Perhaps it was an acute crisis or the death of a loved one that turned you inwards. And whatever it was, it's led you here to listen to this or to read this. The 53rd gene key, it's part of the ring of seeking. It drives us to seek. You know, our restless spirit has to go through this exhaustive search, this great quest. And eventually that becomes the spiritual quest. So perhaps you're beginning to see what I mean now by immaturity. How fixated are you by the outer world, by the events of your life? And it's all brought to you through your karma, which has been created out of your past, out of your past lives. Everything is linked back to a cause. There's a divine justice at work that is utterly invisible to us. There are places of immaturity in all of us. And as we begin to evolve, to spiritually evolve, we have to gradually shake off these immature patterns. And this takes time. You know, we all have our blind spots. Ask yourself where your blind spots are. Where are you still playing the victim? You know, it's likely to be the biggest focus of your life right now. Suffering is like that. It dominates our consciousness. The 53rd gift, expansion. So what happens as we mature? What does the process of maturity look like? Is there anything we can do to speed up the process? That's definitely the question of our era. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because the question comes from the shadow, from restlessness. So the very question is wrong. It's only when we begin to understand this question inside us that we begin to slow down. We begin to mature. Now, isn't it funny that maturity always seems to involve slowing down? I mean, the mature person is older and slower, and the mature river is wider, slower moving. So one of the hallmarks of maturity is slowness. It's also insightful that the gene key of slowing down is the 52nd gene key, which comes just before this one in the I Ching, in the sequence. So maturity is rooted in slowing down. It's also a stage in our seeking. Sooner or later, spirituality always learns this. The art of meditation or contemplation or prayer or breathing, you know, we have to learn to breathe. And we learn to breathe more deeply. When we do, that's when we begin to see things more clearly. We see life as though in slow motion. Our rhythm may slow down, but our awareness quickens. Our intelligence heightens and becomes more refined. Our lives become more efficient, more effective. We enter into a period of gradual expansion. And this gift of expansion, it needs to be understood clearly. Expansion can be balanced or it can be imbalanced. For example, you can overexpand your business so that it becomes a liability and a danger to the whole. So expansion is not necessarily a good thing. And overexpansion is another sign of immaturity. Maturity knows that expansion must be balanced. So the gift of expansion is really about the expansion of awareness, the expansion of love, the expansion of creativity. Those three taken together create perfect harmony. Awareness without love can be cruel. Love without awareness can be painful. Creativity without love can be reckless, etc., etc. I hope you get the picture. So expansion really refers to a ripening of our spirit. And when our spirit ripens, then our life tends to move naturally towards balance, because life is a holistic phenomenon. You know, we tend to compartmentalize our lives. We think of our relationships as one thing, our family as another, our work as another, our health as another. But these are all one thing. An expansion in one area only creates imbalance. So maturity is to allow expansion to ripple through the whole of your life. And the secret to this is actually effortlessness. Expansion comes without effort. It emerges naturally and slowly and quietly, and it brings calm rather than excitement. It brings simplicity rather than complexity. It brings perspective rather than ambition. And it all comes through slowing down. So expansion also then takes place over lifetimes. And in the esoteric lore, there's this expression I've sometimes heard used for the soul. It's called the permanent atom. So there's this notion of there being a single atom in our being that is carried over between lifetimes, and it carries the charge of our karma with it. And in the terminology of the Corpus Christi, that's the mystical side of the Gene Keys, this is called the causal body. And the causal body represents all the good that we have learned over the cycles of our lives. And that gets stored eternally in this atom. And over time, this atom begins to glow. And the more it glows and radiates, the brighter the soul becomes. And this is the aura of an expanded state of awareness. And such a state has learned that the problems of the world can only be solved within, when we go to the root cause. You know, you can stop a war on the outside, but it'll only spring up somewhere else. And suffering is, it's like the Hydra's seven heads. The more you try and cut them off, the more sprout forth. And that's not to say, by the way, that we shouldn't try and help others. On the contrary, one of the primary means to transcend suffering is to serve others selflessly. So this selfless service is a part of our expansion. You can't expand without serving others in some way. Service is a byproduct of love. So the gift of expansion is about turning all this restless energy of the shadow back towards its own source. Remember, it's about how we deal with the suffering. Can we use it as a means to expand our awareness, or do we let it overwhelm us and crush our spirit? The 53rd gift uses suffering to expand. That's its greatest gift. It uses the difficulties and traumas of life as creative fuel. The 53rd Gene Key and its programming partner, the 54th, are two of the most driven energies in the whole Gene Key's matrix. They either drive you mad or they drive you towards enlightenment and great wisdom. The 53rd city, superabundance. So what on earth does this word mean? Superabundance. There's a lovely word in English, hyperbole. It means something that is overly exaggerated on purpose. You know, is superabundance hyperbolic? I mean, can you have more than abundance? I love words, you know, they're highly specific. You know, the prefix super, it comes from Latin and it means above or beyond. And this is what gives us the key to the 53rd city. It's actually beyond abundance. You know, and in the modern new age, everyone is looking for abundance, right? You know, have you noticed that? We all have all these affirmations, may I be abundant. And there is nothing wrong with that. You know, humans have always prayed to the gods of abundance, like Ganesh, for example, the Hindu one. And that's a part of our expansion and our maturity. We need to experience material abundance to a degree. Because when we have all our material needs met, we soon realize that having money doesn't make us happy. It actually makes us comfortable, but it doesn't lead to fulfillment. It doesn't take away suffering. So it's important to realize that for most of us, we need to get our material needs met before we can truly turn inwards. It's a practical consideration. But superabundance, this is of a different dimension. What it really says is that abundance no longer matters. You know, expansion is the other side of contraction. The universe expands, the universe contracts. Life, death. Superabundance is the state beyond them both. It's beyond seeking. It lies at the end of the quest, the end of the rainbow. Superabundance is where everything springs from. It's a mystery. It's the mystery. It's the locus of God. You know, the poet Rilke, he put it best at the end of his most famous poem, the Ninth Duino Elegy. Superabundant being wells up in my heart. Superabundance is being. That's what it really is. It isn't abundance. It doesn't care about whether there's abundance or not. It's beyond all agendas. It's the numinous state. this so-called permanent atom that we spoke of in the gift, that atom is shown to be semi-permanent here in the city. That atom explodes. An atomic explosion. Incarnation comes to an end. There can be no more beginnings. Or you can say there's now only one beginning, and it's eternal. And eternity is really that, an eternal beginning without end. You see, it's paradox. The gift was ripening, and here in the city, the fruit drops from the bough. I don't really know if this is of any use to speak about, but we should know what the essence of this 53rd Jinki is really about. When I first began contemplating this Jinki, it came to me really clearly. You know, this Jinki, it makes us run. It wants us to run. I mean, humans need to run. Running is so good for us. It's healthy. It burns energy. It's meditative. It's rhythmic. And it feels good. Isn't that funny? You know, a moment ago I was talking about slowing down, and here I am now talking about running. Can you contain that paradox? You know, when you run, you feel superabundance. The world actually kind of slows down. And after a while, it begins to fill you. You know, the running runs you. And of course, this is a metaphor. I mean, it's also true. I think people with this Jinki probably would do very well to run. But it's also symbolic, because we're all here running around the wheel of life and death. And superabundance is as much about the dying as it is being born. So the focus here is not on the forms that come and go, nor is it on the waves that rise and fall from the source. The focus is on the source itself. You know, one day this universe we're all in will contract and withdraw into itself. All the matter and story and song and the whole glittering pageant of humanity and Gaia and all her creatures, the solar system, the wheeling stars like tiny birds in the celestial sky, it's all going to return to itself, back to its source. And one day another mystery will be born from that source. That's the only way our mind can handle eternity. We have to say one day. Of course, when space returns to its source, so will time. So in that sense, the world will end. But it also can't end. It can only keep running. It can keep burning and keep breathing. So I have no idea how much use this contemplation is to anyone, or even these jinkies. I suppose if I wanted to be useful, I would talk about the glories of the gift and how to expand your life and how to reach out and embrace wider horizons and touch more souls and open more hearts and more and more and more to life. And that is the essence of this jinki, of every jinki. And there also comes a time when transcendence occurs on its own. But we can't force maturity. We have to relax and simply let it come in its own time. And the more mature we become, the softer we become, and the easier we are on ourselves. I think that's what superabundance really teaches us. The fine art of letting go.